Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
Read a little every day before you slumber.
Cap it all off with a trip through Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy.
Parts are fun, others not so much.
Rifts in and flooding and plagues and such.
Whether you're German or French or Dutch,
we can all learn a thing from the Pentateuch.
That's not right. Whether you're a king or a queen or a duke,
we can all learn a thing from the Pentateuch.
Well, I'm Jim Burns, and there is a really interesting trend developing among Christian kids today. It's not a good trend. Studies show that more and more children are growing up in families that are active in a local church congregation. Well, that's good news. However, once those kids reach the end of high school, well, almost two-thirds of them are turning away from their faith, at least for a while. And some of those young people, are staying away for longer and longer times. Well, Phil Bisher understands the severity of this issue. And as the co-creator of Veggie Tales, he developed a video series that brought the truth of God's word into millions of homes. Yes, you remember Veggie Tales. What a great phenomenon. More than 50 million copies of Veggie Tales DVDs have been sold. That means approximately one out of every three households in America today had at least one Veggie Tales DVD. That's incredible, by the way. It could have been video as well, because it was back in the video days. But while Veggie Tales and other programs like it were becoming more popular, many Christian kids were actually losing their desire to study the Bible. Well, they found it a bit boring and maybe a bit routine. That's more our problem than the Bible's problem. Well, now Phil Bisher has created a brand new video series, and it's designed to help kids of all ages rediscover the joy of studying Scripture and then applying it to their lives. The new series is called What's in the Bible, and it features the adventures of Buck Denver, pretty interesting, leading kids through various studies of foundational biblical truths. Well, today on Homeward, Phil Bisher joins us to talk about what's in the Bible and how you communicate that with fun for your kids. That's our theme, so keep it right here. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and today on the program, we have a slight departure, if you will, from the usual Homeward broadcast. Had the privilege not too long ago of visiting the city of St. Louis and traveling to the International Christian Retail Show. Got to spend some time with Phil Bisher, who is a part of the Homeward family by proxy, in that Phil's brother-in-law, Dean Bruns, has been a long-time member of our support team here and does great work in the Homeward ministry. And Phil had just been releasing the new video project, What's in the Bible? And we had a conversation on the convention floor, you'll hear by the ambiance, of making What's in the Bible fun for your kids. So now here's part one of that conversation here on Homeward. Phil Bisher joins us today here on the Homeward broadcast. We're talking about making What's in the Bible fun for kids. Phil Bisher, a man who needs no introduction, so you don't get one. Thanks for being on the program.
Hi, kids. I'm Bob the Tomato. Okay, I'll self-introduce.
Thank you. Co-creator of VeggieTales, and Phil's been on the program before, and Homeward family member because of your relationship with Dean Bruns, who's
Absolutely.
Been a part of this ministry for years. VeggieTales now... Did you have a little party when it went over 50 million units, or a little cupcake or something?
It was about 3 years after I was no longer involved. It was a little bittersweet, actually.
Say.
It's like, wow, that's doing really well over there
with me
for those people.
Yeah, that is kind of, but come on.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what God can do with, you know, your loaves and fishes.
Right.
You just say, hey, you've given me a gift of mm-hmm. whatever measure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it back to you.
Amen.
And see what you do. So it was really an awesome journey.
Speaking of gifts, you have continued to give gifts to the, well, I mean, we have to pay for them, but to the body of Christ and to families all over the country with Jelly Telly. Now, last time we spoke with you, let's catch up. What's happening in Jelly Telly?
Yeah, Jelly Telly, jellytelly.com, the idea was kind of a tiny little Nickelodeon type network for kids online. And it's now a partnership with Focus on the Family. Excellent. They were looking for a new direction for ministry for younger kids mm-hmm. there. And so we partnered with them, and we're working together with them to say, okay, how does this work? You know, because everyone is looking at, everything is changing so quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, should we be online or on iPad?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, exactly.
What's tomorrow? We have no idea. It's changing so rapidly. So we're working with Focus to figure out, okay, where do we want to take this? What's the best way to serve families, you know, in getting content? And we're doing a really fun thing. Like every week we do a show called Buck's Mailbag, and mm-hmm. Buck Denver reads emails that he gets from kids, real kids, who ask him questions, you know, and they're questions about their families, questions about their friends, could be questions about theology, you know, mm-hmm. really just all over the place. And then I take and we do a little research, and then the puppet Buck Denver goes online and answers all their questions the next week.
And that's a nice transition into the latest of This is Buck Denver. I'm looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're looking at Buck Denver. We got a new series called What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. And the way it started is basically 13 DVDs to walk kids all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And the reason it started is I was looking at some of the research being done by like Gallup and by the Barna Group. 65% of kids growing up in the church in America today stop attending church as soon as they graduate from high school.
We're going to pause right now and let that sink in for just a moment. And now go ahead and continue. But the parents are starting to 65%.
65%
I have three kids, two of them. Okay, great.
Of kids raised in the church today stop attending church as soon as they graduate from high school. As soon as they're old enough to make the choice, they're opting out.
Wow.
And, you know, you have to look back and say, okay, what have we done wrong? And because our churches are bigger. You know, I just heard about a new church that's about to open up with like a roller coaster inside, you know, and we've just gone nuts trying to make it more fun.
Yes.
For
yes.
kids. But kids are growing up, you know, they're getting to high school, they're getting to college, and they don't see the point.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fun. We ate all that candy. Sure. Remember all the candy we ate back
right.
in church?
Right.
Half of adult Protestants can't define the word grace. I think this is part of the problem. You know, Gallup was doing research, and he said most pastors have no idea how little their congregants know about their faith. Okay, so these were the parents that were supposed to be passing their faith on to their kids.
Right, and they don't have a clue.
They can't define grace. You know, how on earth are our kids supposed to be living out God's grace in front of a watching world when we can't even define the term? So I started to wonder, you know, did we just spend the last 30 years telling Christians who to vote for?
Yeah.
Is that really all we accomplished in the last 30 years?
Not on Homeward. Not on Homeward. Very apolitical.
Telling people, you know, what to be cranky about?
Yeah.
Today in North America, 80% of non-Christians have a negative view of evangelical Christianity.
Wow.
You know, 80%. That's 4 out of 5. When they asked Americans between the ages of 18 and 35, what's the first word that jumps into your mind when you hear the phrase evangelical Christian? Mm-hmm. The number one response was homophobic.
Wow.
We have allowed ourselves to be defined by what we are against. Hmm. And what we see now is a generation of kids growing up, you know, looking at the kind of the political activism and the polarization of the church of their parents, saying, I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, that can't be what this is about.
Right.
You know, Chuck Colson said something amazing in Time Magazine last year. Late last year, he did an interview with Time Magazine. He said, when we politicized the gospel in the 1980s, we made a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. It's from Chuck Colson.
Yeah.
You know, the godfather of the culture wars.
Right, right, exactly.
he went on to say, you know, we kind of thought that we could fix America just by getting the right guys into Washington.
Yeah.
He said, Washington can't fix America. It's not the job of the government. It's the job of the church.
Amen.
And that's where we're failing. Yeah, so he pulled together a group last year, and I was honored to be invited to be part of that group. And he stood up and said, what we need to embark on now is nothing short of the re-evangelization of the North American church.
So preaching to the choir now isn't such a bad idea.
I had people 5 years ago say to me, you know, Christians buy your stuff. You're just preaching to the choir. What's the point of that? And I would turn 5 years ago, I would turn to them and say, I'm preaching to the choir because the problem is in the choir loft.
Yeah, amen.
You know, because the world isn't supposed to learn about God by watching Christian DVDs. The world is supposed to learn about God by watching Christians.
Amen.
And that's where we're failing. So if I can reach kids, if I can help parents, you know, I can go to a 40-year-old dad and say, I want to teach you your faith because I don't think you know it very well.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to say, number one, I grew up in church.
Sure.
I know my faith. Number two, the game's on.
Yeah.
But I can go to the same 40-year-old guy and say, I want to help you pass on your faith to your kids. He's going to say, boy, do I need help with that because I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. And if I do it, you know, with wit, mm-hmm. you know, like C.S. Yes. Lewis on the radio in wartime England, you know, yes, he was a bright guy, but even more importantly, he was a clever guy.
Yes.
So people liked to listen to him. Mm-hmm. If I can do this with wit, Dad will sit down on the couch along with the kids and watch along. And halfway through, he's going to lean over to Mom and say, you know, I don't even think I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're literally doing is walking kids all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, answering questions like defining terms that never get defined in church. Like, what exactly does the word salvation mean? Mm-hmm. What exactly does the word redemption mean?
Sure.
Holy. You know, I've heard holy. We need to be holy. You're supposed to be holy. God is holy.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
You know what? It doesn't mean pure.
Right.
That's not what it means. It means set apart.
Well, my favorite word is repent, quite frankly. I mean, you hear repent, 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 repent. Okay.
Yes.
What does that involve?
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And we never take the time to define these terms in a way that kids will remember.
Right.
You know, and so what I was looking at were things like, I learned the preamble to the Constitution not in school, but on Saturday morning cartoons from Schoolhouse Rock.
Exactly.
A little song that sung the preamble, or, you know, I am a bill. I am only a bill. You know, I retained more from Schoolhouse Rock than I think I did from school.
Sure.
And it's because they made it sticky.
Sure. Conjunction, junction.
Yeah. What's your function?
Yeah.
They made it sticky with these clever little songs and great little visuals. They visualize things.
Yeah.
And yet every Sunday in church, we get up in front and we lecture.
Right.
You know, which has been shown scientifically to be the least effective form of education known to man.
Nice.
In terms of retention.
Thanks for telling the lay pastor who doesn't want to talking like that. That's how you do it.
And then, you know, 2 hours after lunch, we don't understand why no one remembers anything
right.
we said.
Right.
What happened? Didn't they hear? I said that 6 months ago. I did a sermon series on that very topic.
I did that at the 9 o'clock service and you forgot it by 10:30. What's the matter?
Yes. And we're afraid to repeat ourselves because, well, I have to come up with a new sermon every week or they're going to kick me out of the church. Well, wait a minute. I know the preamble because I heard the preamble song on Saturday morning TV about 100 times.
Right, right.
It was clever. I didn't mind the repetition, and it made it stick.
Sure, sure.
You know, and so that's what we're trying to do. Let's take concepts like grace and sanctification. You know, how do you teach progressive sanctification to a six-year-old?
Yeah.
Ha-ha, we will come up with a way. Turn it into a song and an animated illustration that makes sense. So where VeggieTales was really linear storytelling, we're going to retell the story of Daniel in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to retell the story of Noah's Ark or whatever. This is, no, we're going to tell the entire arc of Scripture.
Love it.
And we're going to define our terms, and we're going to do apologetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
wait, you're going to say you're sorry for what happened in the Bible? I don't know. You said apologetics. Isn't that what an apology is?
We're going to teach kids to defend their faith.
Oh, that's what
Other apologetics.
Having a fun with that. Okay, well, that was a conversation that I had on the convention floor at the International Christian Retail Show in St. Louis not too long ago with Phil Vischer. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, kind of capping off a three-part conversation with Phil. Parts one and two featured Dr. Jim Burns in studio with Phil Vischer, and part three including my conversation with him about, this was at the release of What's in the Bible, the brand new video series that Phil has put together that's Bible basics for kids. Parents can benefit from them as well. Families can watch them together. It's a really outstanding resource. You can learn more at homeward.com. Hit the radio broadcast tab and you'll see the radio broadcast schedule. Phil's name is hotkeyed and you can just take it from there and follow the prompts on his website. Now let's get back into this. This is the conclusion of my conversation with Phil Vischer on what's in the Bible and making what's in the Bible fun for your kids. At the close of the program, information on how you can get a copy of the audio CD of this broadcast as well. I think of Michael Card years ago, who was one of my favorite singer-songwriters, which really dates me, but I remember him talking about a song he wrote called That's What Faith Must Be, and he wrote it in the form of a children's song. And he said, the reason I did was because I wanted to make sure that I could explain my faith to a five-year-old, because if I can't explain my faith to a five-year-old, I don't understand my
Absolutely.
Faith.
Absolutely.
And I think about you as a six-year-old. Well, you were six when you got your first puppet.
Yeah.
Did I read that right in the press kit?
Yep.
And thinking, okay, well, somewhere in your world, there was that foundation of faith and also this love of puppets, which is kind of an odd pairing, I think, but it served you well.
Yes.
It has. And then throw in a side order of a little family trauma as you got a little bit older with your parents' divorce.
Yep.
Talk about how all those things have worked together for you to say, look, God can bring healing to this situation.
Yeah.
The biblical literacy problem, the hearts at home problem, all those different things.
Well, I mean, I have a keen understanding of how hard it is. I have kids now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how to parent them.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I was parented.
Right.
You know, my dad walked out when I was nine, so my mom went into survival mode.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go work. I got to get a job.
So mom and dad didn't necessarily agree to this. Dad just said, I'm done.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Right. So I don't, you know, I mean, I survived. Mm-hmm. You know, I was fed.
Yeah.
I was, and that's true for so many kids in my generation
yeah.
who are now parents.
Yes.
And we don't have a clue how we're supposed to do this because the chain was broken.
Yeah.
You know, the chain of parenting and also of passing on of faith. You know, so one of the top 25 mega churches down in Dallas, Texas, did a survey of the parents in the church and said, okay, you know what we're doing with your kids on Sunday morning. What are you doing the rest of the week?
Mm.
You know, how are you spiritually engaging with your kids? And 90% of the parents in that mega church, very innovative church, had to check the box that said nothing.
Wow.
That other than a mealtime prayer, they were having no spiritual interaction with their kids.
Mm.
And so the senior pastor got up the next Sunday and canceled his sermon and said, we are outsourcing everything. We outsource our laundry. We outsource our lawn care. We outsource our cooking. And we're outsourcing the discipleship of our children. This has to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm trying to create a tool. It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, family devotions is about the most frightening 10 minutes of a day.
Yeah.
You know, for parents. Like, oh my gosh, they're going to hate this. You know, I'm not nearly as engaging as Hannah Montana.
Do we have to start every day? I mean, there's a family right now that's in that boat that checked none of the above. And
yeah.
is saying, okay, I don't know where to start. Thanks for the DVD. Can we watch it once a week?
And yeah, absolutely. I mean,
okay.
once a week is, you know, 50 times a year, which is 50 more times than zero a week.
Last time I checked. Yeah, that's good. That's good math.
You know, okay. 10 years, that's 500 spiritual interactions with
right.
your kids by the time they're 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That is.
You know, it's so much better than the average American kid gets.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. What we're trying to do is let's create a tool. You know, if you don't feel equipped to be the preacher for your kids, to figure out how to do that, we'll just gather up as a family, you know, and let a really kooky little puppet and me, because I actually show up, you know, kind of like Uncle Walt sitting on the edge of the desk saying, let's take a look at the book of Leviticus. What's that all about?
Yeah.
And let us walk you and your kids through the Bible together. It's okay to learn things together with your kids. You don't have to be the expert already. You know, so we can learn this stuff together. We explain things like, why do different Bibles have different numbers of books? You know, and a kid's going to grow up in high school, they're going to bump into a Catholic friend and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't have that book in my Bible.
Yeah, Enoch, I don't get it.
Why didn't anyone tell me about that?
Yes.
You know, why wasn't that ever mentioned in Sunday school? Or why was it okay for the Israelites to kill all those Canaanites?
Mm.
How could that possibly have been okay? You know, and they're going to get hit with those questions in high school, and maybe by a friend, maybe a teacher, is, oh, you're a Christian. Okay, explain this to me about the Bible.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is, well, if we mention that, if we talk about, if we don't ignore them, because we've erased them from all the children's Bibles.
Right.
It's like none of that stuff ever happened. You know, the story of Noah is a story about cute animals.
Exactly.
And wasn't it nice for God to give them a ride? Never mind the bobbing corpses.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make good art.
Or the birth of the rainbow. You know, how many kids think that understand that the rainbow is a covenant sign?
The way we retell Bible stories to kids too often reminds me of African folk tales that would end with lines like, and that's how the zebra got his stripes. You know, okay, well, you hit a certain age and you realize that's not how the zebra got his stripes.
Yeah.
That was make-believe.
Yeah.
And if we've told our Bible stories in the same tone of voice, I don't know how you don't throw those away too.
Yeah.
You know, so we're saying, by the way, this stuff really happened. You know, and we're going to look at some of the evidence that we know about how it really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's dive into the tricky questions. We call them Tricky Bits with Buck Denver. It's time for Tricky Bits with Buck Denver. Why was it okay for the Israelites to kill all those people? Why could God take that land and give it to the Israelites when it already belonged to someone else? Who did the land really belong to? Who does all the land really belong to? You know, and unwrapping some of these things for kids so they get to high school and a teacher says, aha, watch this. You know, you're a dumb Christian. I'm going to knock you right out of your faith.
Yeah.
He's going to say, oh, yeah, I knew that. Here's how.
Tricky bits.
Yeah, let me explain it to you. That's a tricky bit, but I've already heard about that.
Yeah.
So we're kind of inoculating kids against the world.
Nice.
You know, ahead of time.
Well, I think about the ABC Family crowd and the Disney Channel crowd and then that group that started out as kind of a tween age thing, but now it's actually pushing into the late teens, early 20s. And I remember you telling us in a previous broadcast that the VeggieTales audience, a lot of college kids used to watch that stuff.
It's
tons of fun.
Yeah.
And I can see that this would have the same type of crossover for them, too. It's cute. It's kind of silly. But I think there's a part of kids that age. And I say kids, it's weird to talk about my 22-year-old daughter as a kid.
Yes.
Because when I was a kid, you know, 22 was, you're an adult.
Yeah.
But now they're older. But I can see them watching this even and saying, I didn't know that.
Right.
And this is really fun. And I didn't know that.
I mean, I don't know that the Bible has really come to life and become sticky like this for any of our kids, no matter what their age. You know, because they, I mean, the admissions folks at Christian colleges talk about every year incoming freshmen know less about the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, these colleges have to keep rewriting their basic Bible classes to assume less. Because kids coming out of church just don't know the stuff. We've focused more on values because it's so much easier to teach.
Sure.
Be kind, be thankful, you know, be happy. Yeah. Jesus loves you and you know, he's a Republican.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what our kids have heard for the last generation.
Sure. Right.
And it's like, well, that's great, but it's not actually Christianity.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I mean, and you can only, kids can only do so much to improve their character without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Which was kind of the point of how that was all supposed to work.
Yes.
You know, so at what point do we say, oh, by the way, here's how?
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of felt after 10 years of VeggieTales, when I finally, my head cleared and I looked back, you know, I thought, did I just spend 10 years trying to convince kids to act Christianly without actually explaining to them Christianity?
Ooh.
And that really gave me pause.
Yeah.
You know, and it just made it more clear. Okay, our basic message was God made you, God loves you. You know, that was key. That's the foundation under this foundation.
Yeah.
But we laid that. We said that.
Yeah.
You know, for about 15 years, we said that it's time to go deeper. Mm-hmm. And deeper is, okay, what happens in the first 11 chapters of Genesis that shaped all of history?
Yeah.
You know, why does nothing make sense in life unless you look at it through the filter of the first 11 chapters of Genesis? Let's start there. Let's explain the concept of sin, which typically does not come up in a children's Bible because it leads to God's judgment,
right,
which also does not come up in a children's Bible.
Or the pulpit a lot of places, too.
That's true.
It's a tough set.
That's true. Yeah. Let's talk about God's holiness and how it affects us, you know, and what it really means. And does it mean God's mean? Or does it mean he's different?
Yeah.
You know, he's completely different from anything we've ever experienced. He's bigger. You know, we turn him into the cute little, you know, Jesus is my homeboy.
Right.
It's like, how could he possibly judge me when we're buddies?
Yeah.
When
exactly.
we hang out together.
Well, we are friends. That's in the Bible.
Yes.
We're friends.
I am a friend of God.
Right.
I am. But
and friends are good.
That doesn't mean if I walk in inappropriately to his tent in Israel, I won't drop dead.
That's true.
Friends don't usually drop dead when they walk into your room inappropriately.
That's true. There's a different aspect of the friendship.
There is a different
maybe side the kids aren't getting
of the friendship that we've kind of edited out of our theology.
Right. And, and you'll find that, though, in this DVD series.
Yes.
What's in the Bible.
Yes.
Phil, this has flown by. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for doing this. And we're very, very happy to recommend it. Of course, we recommend everything you do.
Well, I appreciate that. I recommend everything that you do.
Well, thank
for
you.
Except that one thing that you did. That
right.
I'm not, you know, I'm
we're
not crazy.
Not
I'm not
no,
crazy about that.
On the, no,
yeah, I okay. still, yeah. Okay, anyway. If you want to learn more, go to our website, whatsinthebible.com.
Phil Fisher, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that concludes our conversation with Phil Fisher here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our topic has been making what's in the Bible fun for your kids. And Jim, this really is a great topic. It's a great resource. And of course, not to overuse the word great, but it's always great to have Phil Fisher with us here on the program.
Well, you're exactly right. It feels a little bit like Old Home Week because of the Fisher relationship. You know,
sure.
I respect Phil Fisher so much. And back in his VeggieTales days, you know, we were watching kids' lives transformed and families transformed because of his incredible creativity. And now he brings it to the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for so many years, we have not done a good job in the church and especially in the home of teaching foundational truths in the Bible, making it fun and inspirational.
Yes.
You know, it can be.
Yeah.
It should be. It must be. And all of a sudden, Phil Fisher comes along, and as he was talking with you today about that, he just says, look it, we can make this interesting, and by golly, he did. So I'm excited about that. And a great interview on your part there,
Well,
brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I think it's important for us as parents. I know that what I came away from our time together talking with was the fact that so many times we take these things for granted. I think there were a lot of things that if you grew up in the church or your kids have grown up in the church too, we just kind of take for granted there are things that we know, and the culture doesn't reinforce these biblical truths the way that they were when you and I were growing up. And so now we have to be more, I'm using your favorite word here, intentional about sharing those truths with our kids.
Yeah, and we have to be more intentional about actually having some fun, you know, because if they just experience Bible and they say it's dull, it's boring, it's horrible, well then, you know, that's what they're going to think about the Bible. And yet we've got to figure out how to do it fun. So why not use a DVD like Phil's and make that happen? You know, when parents visit our online resource center at homeward.com, they ask lots of great questions. You know what one of the biggest questions is, Roger? Mm-hmm. It is, how can I pass my faith in Christ to my children?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is precisely how we produce audio programs like this one that you've just heard. And the first three DVDs on the What's in the Bible series have been released. And there will be a total of 13 in all. And each one of them is very well produced, amazingly good stuff. And they're fun to watch as well as any of the VeggieTale types things
are. Very entertaining.
Now, I'm going to recommend to you that you use these to start what we call faith conversations with your kids. You don't have to do a full sermon with them. You can actually put the DVD in, and then you can have a good discussion about it. It's fun passing on a legacy of faith and actually watching your children enjoy it. So that's the kind of thing you can do with this great material. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the program. Thanks for tuning in, and please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your financial support as well. I'm Jim Burns. Be sure to join us again next time right here for Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.